city on the fields of fiction. They rode two knights across the plains, two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor. In the shadow of a mountain cry their name. Until the deed is done. Until the quest is won. The battle's in our minds. Until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Joshowick.
Josh, the fabled Joshowick, only appears in the midnight moon. On the third of moon. It's summer solstice.
It is. It's the longest daylight of the year.
Is that why you're out right now? Is like you're the fiery red beard and hair of Henderson.
I have a
bathing
flame
in the summer sun.
I have a flame sword and I'm just running down the street naked with it.
Are you doing, like, is there any kind of sacrifice that you're doing tonight?
Oh, I mean, just my self-respect, like usual.
Oh, okay. And the sacrifice of the unborn. Means you're going to masturbate later.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's such a great code word for it.
Gonna go make a sacrifice and hit the hay, you know what I'm saying?
Just makes me good. Help me go to sleep at night.
This sacrifice is so I get to sleep all right. Okay, let's do it. I'm having another Sapporo. It's a hot, hot day here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I saw it was like 207 in LA this week, so.
Yeah, I'm cooked. You can actually, I'm a piece of meat.
Oh,
cooked a piece of meat walking around.
I knew that.
Hey. We got prompts that we got from the internet.
Yes, all right. This week's prompts.
We have gold submitted by Infernal Swamp Odoom.
Odoom.
And Smugglers submitted by Katane.
Yes, that's a
I think that's the name. Guys,
Katana?
Thank you. Katina? Cantina?
Cantina?
Thank you for the prompts that you've left. And if you want to submit your prompt for this episode, put it in the comments of this YouTube episode.
One only.
And with that, Josh, I want to know, what did you do this week? What did you do?
Well, I started watching this show on Showtime because... I don't know. I just did. I have the Showtime Go, whatever they call that.
Yeah, okay, so their streaming service?
Yeah. So I got that from, like, my mom. And nice. So I started watching that show Happy-ish.
Okay.
With Steve Coogan and Catherine Hahn. Catherine Hahn is in, like, she's in, like, Step Brothers. She's the crazy wife. She's redheaded lady. And I love it. It's really funny. It's really weird. There's like non sequiturs, kind of not like Family Guy, but sort of where like they'll just talk to cartoons in it and stuff. Like it's really crazy.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great show.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's cool. What did you do?
Oh, I got a list. I could turn a whole podcast into what I did this week.
I know what you did, but we have to play along like I don't know.
Well, okay, you know what I'm going to talk about, but let me just say that I went to Disneyland.
Yes.
Got into Disneyland for the 60th anniversary. It was crowded. It was so crowded.
It's only been around for 60 years?
Only 60 years, yeah.
I feel like it's way longer than that.
Nah, yeah, it opened in
the 60s, I guess.
Yeah.
Or 50s.
50s or something. Who knows? In fact, no one knows.
No one knows,
but it is the 60th anniversary.
They know that much, but they don't know when.
But we went to the 60th anniversary. It's crowded as hell.
Yeah.
We had a good time. Not too much to report from the old Disneyland. I don't think I'll ever go back until
It's
the non-peak season. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, it's summer, so. I went to Disney World in the dead of winter, like in January.
And
it was great. There was no one there. It was
awesome.
Dude,
there's no one there. If you want to ride Splash Mountain four times in a row,
just
you
go
can.
Right ahead. Yep.
You want to do that? You don't have to get out. I've done it. But I also saw a couple films, Josh.
Yes.
All right, we're going to go. We're going to start chronologically. We're going to start with the newest shit.
Okay.
The newest shit that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
Jurassic World.
Yeah. I heard it was not good, but then everyone loves it, so.
One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I believe that.
It's bad. From a script standpoint, it's terrible. I think Chris Pratt does a good job in it. He's not bad.
Yeah.
He's definitely the best part. There are some cool scenes, but ultimately, I don't know who the main character is in this film, because it's not Chris Pratt who's the main character, because he doesn't show up until like 25 minutes into the film or something.
Right.
I guess it focuses on these two kids and this woman who's running shit at Jurassic World.
Yeah.
And
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes, yes. And the whole movie is her not caring enough about family and then learning to care about family. It's the same thing that Dr. Grant goes through in the first film.
He doesn't like kids
and then he loves kids.
Right, right, right.
The best part of the film is the conversation that the owner of the park and B.D. Wong have about why they made the crazy dinosaur that they're now dealing with, which is essentially a conversation of the people who made the film, who go, hey, why did we make this crappy abomination of a film? Why did we take these things that were good and then try to make more money? And he's like, because you sent the fucking memo, homeboy. You said you wanted big and bad.
So,
and it's so bizarre. I would say you need to see it just for that scene.
Because it's clever,
so weird.
Or is it just, like, is there like a hint of irony in that? I don't understand how you could not. Like, okay, you write that scene and you shoot it and then you see it and then you don't realize, like,
and no one realizes what that scene's about.
Yeah.
I think the film is pretty self-aware, and I think that's what they're talking about in that scene is the media now and how we're just putting a bunch of images together that we already like and getting money out of it.
Right.
But anyway, the big thing in that movie is family. It's about pushing this message of family, right?
Right.
Boom, cut to Transformers 4.
Oh my god.
Me on my couch watching it with Corey and Chad.
Holy fuck, that movie is unbelievably ridiculous. Nothing happens in that movie. My favorite part, I'm going to tell you my favorite part.
Okay.
After one of the times, I don't know if it's the second or whatever, the first time when the Transformers steal that spaceship and they get the humans and they're sitting there and all that dramatic Michael Bay moment starts happening and the cops are rolling up and like they don't know whether to go with the Transformers or to like go on their own and deal with the cops or whatever. And like they ask the daughter, they're like, what should we do? Marky Mark like asks the daughter and she like thinks about it and she's like, we gotta go with the Transformers. Like, that's not drama. That's like the stupidest fucking thing.
It's the title of the movie.
Like, yeah, you're gonna go with the Transformers, you dummy. What are you gonna do? Oh, just let them go. Do whatever. We'll figure out later what they did.
My favorite scene. Okay, by the way, if you like bad movies, this is a great one to watch.
Yeah.
If you like to watch bad movies stoned, this is one which will change your life. It will change your life. This movie is so bad. This movie is so bizarre. Marky Mark and his daughter, who you think they have weird chemistry on film because
really
they definitely had sex.
It's weirdly
they definitely
sexual.
Had sex, right?
Yeah, it's sexual.
On set.
Yeah.
On set somewhere. And you could feel it throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
Because when Marky Mark has sex, everybody knows.
It ripples through time.
But they are so weird. Their chemistry is so weird. There are scenes that look like they're about to passionately kiss throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she has the boyfriend who is dating her under a Romeo and Juliet law, which is a stipulation that allows overage people to date underage people.
Which is,
by the way, after 18, you're overage. So you and I were overage, by the way. That's not specified, but we are
right.
We're overagers, but they make a point to show you a shot of the law printed on a card that the guy is holding.
Why not just make her 18? Just make her 18, and then
they go out of the way to make her underage, so it's hotter
for
the audience.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's there are shots that are framed in between her legs. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But the best one of the best scenes is when Optimus Prime, who is a vengeful motherfucker,
he's angry
in this film,
as fuck.
He wants to. It's like 9/11 just happened to his Transformers, and now he wants blood. He doesn't care how it bleeds. But he goes, they get to the factory where they're making illegal Transformers or something.
Out of pixels.
And he goes, he breaks down a wall and then he goes, kill them all. Which is not something your hero should say. Like, he shouldn't be this vindictive. But anyway.
Soon those people who flew those planes into these Transformers are going to hear us all.
We'll pay for it. But he says, kill them all. And then, like, it's like people running for their lives.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to an Oreo Transformer who's standing in between two Oreo machines. By the way, he's an Oreo machine dispenser who's a Transformer.
Because, you know,
and
Oreo dispenser machine.
Yeah. And he's like, malfunction. And his, like, arm falls off and it's funny.
Right.
It's so weird. The other best scene is when Mark Wahlberg crashes a spaceship into the car, and the nerdy guy goes, I hope you have insurance. And Mark Wahlberg goes, insurance? Insurance? Show me where you can get insurance for a goddamn spaceship. And then he picks up a Bud Light yeah, off the ground, cracks it open on his door, and drinks it and throws it on the ground. Right. Just something you do in between flying a spaceship and shooting your gun sword at robots. This movie is crazy, and everyone should look at it at least. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
It's so long.
30 minutes into the movie, you're like, how much longer is this?
Did you?
Because this is crazy.
Did you see Pain and Gain? Did you see that movie?
I started watching it. I turned it off.
I think a lot of it was like residual Pain and Gain writing that they kind of just retrofitted. Because a lot of weird, like crazy stuff happens in that movie. Like, I don't know. It just feels like, you know, Michael Bay got Mark Wahlberg again. He was like, we're just going to make Pain and Gain, but with Transformers. It's such a weird movie.
It's really, really strange. If you like bad movies, watch Transformers 4. It'll blow your mind.
It made $40 quadrillion or something.
A crazy amount of money. So, I think that movie, again, is about family. Pushing this message of family. Weird, fucked up family.
Well, he's like super overprotective, right? Like,
yeah.
He's like weirdly dad overprotective.
Like he had sex with her or
something. Right, because he wants to. Well, because the mom is dead and she's like the mom. So, I mean, that's, I don't know. That's just my Sigmund Freud coming out, maybe.
Yeah. Ew, it's so weird. But I saw something else.
What else?
I saw Fast and Furious 7.
Oh, really? Okay.
Dude, have you seen it?
No, I saw 6.
It's awesome.
Is it good?
It's pretty cheeseball at dramatic points, of course. It's not a movie that you go into looking for the most dramatic scenes or the best writing. But in terms of a film where you're supposed to watch these action sequences that are, you know, big blockbuster budget, it's awesome. It's so good. I loved it.
I can't wait till it's on HBO, because HBO always gets the Fast and the Furious.
The Fast movies, yeah. It's basically a superhero movie where our main characters are just guys.
They're just race car drivers.
It's superhero race cars. It's Speed Racer if Speed Racer went out on missions.
It's what the movie Speed Racer should be. Like,
yeah. Have you seen that, by the way?
Yeah. I saw it a while ago.
I heard it's pretty good.
I never got into Speed Racer. I never did that. I don't know. So
yeah. But anyway, Fast and Furious 7's awesome. Everyone who likes to watch an action movie should just see it.
Yeah.
It's good. Battle Keg shirts are in, though. That's the last thing that happened to me.
Oh,
I got
the
Battle Keg shirts in, folded each and every one of them, because I'm doing that now, so it's easier to pull the shirts.
Yes.
And hey, if you go to fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com, you place an order for $30 or more, you enter the code BATTLEKEG, you're going to get $3 off. You're going to save, that's about 2 t-shirts, you save $3, we ship them to you when you pay us, and you get t-shirts and to support your show that you like and you're listening
to. And it's like hugging us from the inside. Or we're
it's
hugging
like if you hugged our liver or our spleen, places hugs can't get.
Yeah.
But money can get you to those hugs.
Money can get you anywhere.
But if you want to support the show, stop by fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. Use the promo code BATTLEKEG if you are one word, BATTLEKEG. If you're going to place an order for $30 or more, save yourself some money. But enough of that.
Buy stuff.
Buy stuff. Let's get into our tales of Golden
Smugglers.
Yes. See you there.
Ooh.
I magicked away.
Are you ready for my story?
Yes, I'm ready.
My story this week is called Gloom and Doom on Mount Gloom Doom.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
All right, here we go. The sun rose over Daranos like a giant yellow tit. Please. That's it. See you next week.
Continue. Continue. It's starting off great.
Blazing hot with life-giving tit energy and supplying the world with its bountiful titty light. Birds chirped and bugs began to fuck the shit out of plants.
What?
That's what bugs do.
Oh, yeah. True. Okay. You keep going.
The bony mountains glistened in the tit light like snow-capped breasts just ready to be titty-fucked by maybe a giant who's really huge and also had, like, a really big boner for mountain-fucking. Off in the distance, on the second tallest and fourth most tit-like mountain named Mount Gloom Doom, a loud roar could be heard breaking the otherwise calm dew-covered titty-ass morning. I was a little preoccupied on that intro. It happens. You ready to smuggle the fuck out of some shit, little guy? Asked Zeke the Strange, a goblin smuggler driving the ever-living fuck out of his 69 bone charger. I'm a little nervous about this one, Zeke, squeaked Garcon, Zeke's new partner, who was a little mouse wearing a knight helmet and who also had one of those little plastic swords you get in drinks at bars, but this sword was enchanted with mouse magic. What's mouse magic, you ask? Well, maybe that's none of your goddamn motherfucking business, you nosy ass, piece of shitty ass, toilet paper licking ass bitch.
You know, I wanted to know, but now, but now it's okay. It can just be mouse magic.
It can be whatever. Garcon had recently joined up with Zeke, but the two were already making a name for themselves throughout the land as the most famous smugglers in Daranos. They even already had a theme song. Just some magical boys, never doing no harm. Except for that one time when they killed that witch, and when they stepped on that baby, but the baby was a ghost, and he was evil as hell. It's gonna be okay, little buddy, Zeke reassured his companion as he shifted into 69th gear. We gotta smuggle this treasure to the wizard monks who live up on top of Mount Doomgloom and their wizard conclave, where they are said to be reaching the highest and loftiest realms of magical thought. In the back seat, buckled up safely, was a treasure chest full of throbbing hot treasure, just waiting to be smuggled right into the wet wizard hole, which is what the wizards of Gloomdoom call their garage. Suddenly, up ahead, the smugglers could see a toll road just at the foot of the only passable road up to the wizard's conclave. Zeke slowed the bone charger down, stopping right before the roadblock. God damn it, Zeke said. It's the PODs, led by the most son of a bitchiest paladin this side of the Mississippi River, Sir Mace Cop. He's been after me.
PODs!
They're back.
Don't you want to do...
I don't know the words to that song.
Bad boys.
What you gonna do? He's been after me for a fortnight, ever since I smuggled my bone car into his mother's wizard hole, if you know what I mean.
Oh. Whoa.
I don't.
Yes, I do.
I understand that.
I got you.
Well, if it isn't the two most lamest smugglers in all of Big D, said Sir Mace Cop like a total dick. You boys weren't happening to try and smuggle any treasure up to the secluded wizards now, were ye? You know ain't nobody allowed up there on account of them wizards being crazy and old and totally off limits. Zeke lit his pipe, took a puff, and blew out the smoke, which took the shape of Zeke sitting in the bone charger, and then the smoke Zeke blew out more smoke, which formed a speech bubble that said, "Eat my dicks." All right, boys, enough fun. Step out of the bone car, said Mace Cop. Quickly, Garcon, use your mouse magic, shouted Zeke. Garcon said, confused. Hey, what's that over there? He said, pointing off at nothing in the distance. Sir Mace Cop looked stupidly over his shoulder, along with all the other stupid paladins. Swiss cheese it, shouted Garcon, as Zeke shifted the car into infinity sign. The bone car.
Right after 69th gear.
The bone car began to peel out like crazy as dirt and rocks flew everywhere. Flames shot out of the bone muffler and melted the bumper sticker on the back that said, Booty, Looty, or Cutie. As the bone car launched through the toll gate thingy and was off up the mountain. I just did your mom, Zeke said faintly off in the distance. I forgot I even wrote that part. God dang it, after them, shouted Mace Cop as he mounted his white Bronco named OJ.
Oh no.
Soon, a full-blown bone car chase was afoot. Mace Cop withdrew his flame sword and fired deadly firebolts at the bone charger, missing it completely and accidentally hitting a merc monk who was proposing to his girlfriend in a tree, instantly burning all of his skin off and turning him into a charred skeleton. It has not been a good couple episodes for merc monks.
It is not. It has not.
They are in a rough patch. Garcon, quickly, deploy ye old countermeasures, shouted Zeke. Garcon scurried his cute little mouse body onto the dashboard, where a series of levers were, and pulled one with all of his might. Suddenly, a secret compartment under the bone car opened up, unleashing a bunch of spiked maces, which clattered and clanked across the road. God dang it, watch out, shouted Mace Cop. But it was too late. One of his officer's horses had hit a mace and immediately flipped over like 7 times, like that motorcycle Nazi in The Last Crusade. Holy shit, you got him, shouted Zeke as he high-fived Garcon. By this point, the PODs were P-I-S'd. They began shooting flame bolts and ice bolts and Stoltz bolts, which was a lesser-known school of magic based on worshipping Eric Stoltz. Suddenly, a Stoltz bolt hit the back of the window of the bone charger, shattering.
Oh my god, no!
Okay, buddy, time to break out the big guns, said Zeke, as he pulled another lever on the dash. As he did, a miniature spear turret popped up where the back window had just been blown out. Garcon scurried adorably back to his turret, put on a tiny cute helmet made out of half of a walnut shell, and began firing magically enchanted lightning spears at the PODs. God damn it, not the spear sheen gun, shouted Mace Cop. Garcon fired off a flurry of spears, hitting one POD in the chest, instantly killing him, and giving Garcon the new adventurer name, Garcon the Cop Killer. Garcon adorably fired the spear sheen gun, hitting another POD's horse. As the horse rounded the bend, it began to lose control, causing it to fly right off of a sheer cliff. As it hit the rocks below, it exploded. Nice shooting, little buddy, shouted Zeke as he shifted the bone car into that one cool symbol from the cover of Led Zeppelin 4. Hang on, little buddy. We're about to go for a ride, finished Zeke. Just ahead was a bridge that had collapsed over a river full of deadly, poisonous scorpidiles. God dang it, we got them now, boys, shouted Mace Cop as the sun glinted off his aviators. Oh, yeah, he was wearing aviators, by the way. Hang on, shouted Zeke. Suddenly, the bone charger hit the bridge, sending it into the air. Time seemed to slow down, and then a freeze frame happened. Looks like time's up for them Zeke boys, said the narrator. Wait a minute, why the hell are we stuck here? Asked Garcon. They must be using a freeze time spell on us, replied Zeke, as they looked out the back window. Sure enough, one of the PODs was surrounded by a glowing rune and was chanting the words for the freeze time spell. Hey, you knocked that off, yelled Garcon defiantly, but the paladin kept on chanting. Feels like a froze time. Feels like a fucking froze time.
Feels like a fucking froze time.
Finally, Garcon had had enough. He pulled out his enchanted plastic drink sword. Boomerang power, he shouted into the sword as he threw it. The sword flew toward the paladin, spitting like crazy and slitting the paladin's throat, spurting blood all the fuck over the place. Like a crazy amount of blood. So much blood that another POD passed out and fell off his horse, paralyzing him for life.
Oh my god. My god.
That's the worst way to go. Having broken the spell, the bone charger sailed through the air, completing its awesome jump. Zeke floored the bone pedal, and the two smugglers zoomed off atop the mountain. God dang it, they got away! For now, shouted Mace Cop. Soon, Zeke parked the bone charger in the wizard hole, and was greeted by a contingent of wizards who were high-fiving him and Garcon, who had presumably all seaballed the whole chase. Thank you, adventurers. We've been waiting for you, having presumably watched the whole car chase. Zeke unbuckled the treasure from the back seat and kicked open the chest like a Fonzie. Wait a minute, said Garcon. This chest is full of old books. Yes, said a really old wizard. Books are the real treasure. Wait, these books are just covers of old tomes with porno mags inside of them, Garcon went on. Yes, said another really old wizard. Porn is the real treasure. Hold on, said Zeke. Inside of the porn tomes are just bricks of gold. Yes, said a third wizard. Gold is the real treasure. Now hold on, Garcon interrupted. This is just bricks of gold foil wrapped around bricks of the most powerful strain of dub-dub in all of Terranos, the fabled Yukon gold. Yes, said the first wizard because it was his turn again. Yukon gold is the real treasure. How are you boys going to get past the fuzz and get back down the mountain, asked the second wizard. Zeke and Garcon strapped themselves into their seats. They don't call us the best smugglers in Daranos for nothing, Zeke said, as he put on some cool goggles. Then he revved the bone charger's engines, shifted into the Illuminati symbol, sending the car flying through the wizard hole wall and off the side of the mountain. As the wizards looked out at the falling bone car, they gasped as a parachute deployed with a crude drawing of a hand giving the middle finger, except the middle finger was a veiny dick. Finn.
Just like Furious 7.
It's so weird that you were talking about that.
Oh, my God. Incredible. Great story, Josh. Maybe one of your best.
Thank you. Thank you.
I had a great time.
That's good.
All right, I just want to say, I knew who the main characters were.
Yes.
The drama, it was a little cheese ball, but... The action was there.
It was there. That's all you needed was the action. The only drama in the story was I decided to make it so he had sex with the guy's mom. Which is pretty dramatic.
Which is pretty cheeseball. Yeah, it's great. I want to live in that world where that's cheeseball.
Yeah.
Josh, are you ready for my tale of smugglers and gold?
I'm motherfucking ready, motherfucker.
All right, Josh. All right, motherfucker. This one's called Heart of Gold.
Aww.
It was a hot summer night in Orkspire. The crescent moon dimly shined in the sky as lanterns flickered about the docks of Talandriel, the elven capital of Orkspire.
Oh, wow.
It was a quiet night, with the occasional rumble of heat thunder and the coming clouds that began to block out the moon. A small boat rowed its way into dock.
It's beautiful.
The sound! The sound, Josh! Of marching began to fill the night.
Oh my God.
10 guards surrounding an elf in a golden cloak and mask walked onto the docks.
Whoa.
The elf snapped his fingers, and the guards started fucking shit up. They started to break shit and finally rehearsed in unison. It was like the music video for Michael Jackson's Bad, but really happening. One guard stomped on an anthill for no goddamn reason. Another broke the window of a dock bakery and tossed loaves of day-old dock bread to his fellow guards, who uppercut it into the ocean. Another guard grabbed a wooden crate that read, "Used toys for orphan dogs," and threw it into the ocean as well.
Oh, those poor orphan dogs.
A gust of wind blew in from the sea, blowing the elf's awesome cloak back, revealing his family's insignia upon his breast, a golden heart with a black dagger through it. He snapped his fingers again, and the guards stopped. But this time, they were amped up and ready to kick some ass. This elf was something bad. His name was Sir Encrusted Gemini, and he loved gold.
Sir Encrusted Gemini. It's almost like he was born for this.
Maybe. In the boat were a dwarf and orc, smugglers with their shipment for Sir Encrusted. The orc had a cool haircut. You know which one I'm talking about, men of 2015, with a war bow and quiver on his back.
Timeless. That's an evergreen statement.
The dwarf had a black strip of face paint across his eyeline with an orange braided beard and a cool horseshoe ponytail.
Fuck yeah.
A cool horseshoe ponytail. I just want to make sure that got across.
Yeah.
"Here it is, Encrusted," said the dwarf. "The golden dinnerware from the lost city of Khan." The elf put on his gold-plated reading glasses as he carefully compared the shipment to his list of requested items. "It was a little tough smuggling all this through the found city of Khan," said the orc, "seeing as it is rightfully theirs. But hey, if you didn't want to lose your city's dinnerware, should only made one city." Everyone laughed. Everyone was loving this guy. "Where is the golden rooster centerpiece?" asked Encrusted. "It fell overboard during a really cool fight," said the dwarf. "Well, hey, technically, that's not part of the dinnerware set," countered the orc. Mm-hmm. "You kind of just put the centerpiece on the table on your own if you want. You know, it doesn't really come with the dinnerware."
Yeah.
"So true," said a guard as he snickered. The elf... The elf stared at the dwarf for a moment. It was intense. It made the dwarf slightly uncomfortable until the elf laughed and finally spoke. "It was a stupid-looking centerpiece, if I recall." Then he stopped laughing and got really serious. "But it was gold. You shall be paid, dwarf, but I will have to dock you for the missing item."
Oh, no.
The elf turned his glare to the orc. "Kill him."
What?
Sir Encrusted turned and walked away as a guard poured a sword across the orc's throat.
Whoa.
"No!" you thought. "The guy I liked!"
Everyone was loving him!
Everyone. Sir Encrusted Gemini went home and took off his golden boots as his gold-plated servants drew a bath.
What happened?
Filled with gold. What?
What happened to the guy? I need to know.
Encrusted disrobed as he slipped into the hot bath, surrounded by golden candlelight and the sound of smooth jazz from a golden saxophone that was being played by magic. Gold magic.
It was just like floating.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Fucking A, I love gold, thought the elf to himself as he dipped his, you guessed it, golden hair into the bath.
Oh, nice.
No one loves gold more than me. Come to think of it, it's probably the only thing I ever loved. Certainly more than any woman I have ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Should I fuck some gold?
Like, that's the first time he ever contemplated that. Like, it just hit him. Maybe I should fuck some gold. Holy
he was
shit.
Just contemplating how much he loved gold.
He finally came to that conclusion.
The elf turned into the bath as gold flakes slipped off of his butt cheeks. Should I, like, crazy fuck some gold? Thought encrusted Gemini to his naughty little self. I'm already bad. I'm so bad, but now I think I want to be crazy bad.
Yeah.
The elf got out of the bath and immediately began to dry off. Maybe this is too much, he second-guessed. Maybe fucking gold is too crazy. Maybe I should J.O. to some gold first and work my way up.
Just work up to it. Yeah.
The elf considered this for a moment. Nah, he dismissed. I'm so hot for gold, I'm gonna do that crazy bad shit. He put on his gold silk robe and headed toward the vault. He was so damn excited and determined that he didn't even tie the front of his robe, so dong out.
Just flapping.
Just blowing. The elf opened his vault and stepped inside. He picked up a few golden bars that shimmered in candlelight. So fucking gold, said Encrusted as he began to make out with a golden bar. This went on for some time, until the elf turned back toward the door and was met with a guard staring at him, eyes wide. I said the guard, was checking to see why the vault door was open in the middle of the night. The guard slowly walked away as Sir Encrusted groped a few more bars and returned to his bedchamber. The elf gently placed the gold bars upon his gold sheets. He arranged them in a fuckable way.
Holy shit, this just completely went off the goddamn rails.
Then he lit some candles and left the room. He quickly returned by kicking the door down in passion, now fully dressed in gold. Gold, he shouted. I motherfucking love the shit out of you. Encrusted Gemini ripped off his belt and threw it into the corner in passion. He slowly stepped toward the gold as he began to unbutton his pants. The saxophone was playing again as a drip of sweat slid across his lips. Oh, I am gonna freak this, he whispered as he dropped his pants. Suddenly, a sword pierced right through the elf's chest as he stopped before
Whoa!
Any sort of actual penetration could happen.
Oh no, I was getting ready. I mean,
the
oh,
sword
no.
was pulled back out of its body as Sir Encrusted Gemini fell to the ground, dead.
Oh.
Behind him stood the dwarf smuggler from the docks. That's for killing Stinky, said
no.
the dwarf. There was no blood on the dwarf's sword. No, only gold, dripping on a golden carpet.
Whoa.
The dwarf glanced around and said, Whoa, what the fuck? Was this guy about to fuck some gold? He looked back and forth. What the fuck? Holy shit, said a guard who had assisted the dwarf in infiltrating his lord's chamber. Look at that belt that was passionately thrown into the corner over there. Oh, what the hell? He was romancing the gold too. What the fuck? Said the dwarf, disgusted. I'm happy I betrayed him, said the guard as he shook his head. I knew this guy was sick, but trying to have sex with a metal? Shit, dude, that's disgusting. The word quickly spread throughout the land. It was the strangest shit anyone had ever heard of. A guy about to fuck some gold and then he dies? What? It became the first thing that they told kids in schools because what the fuck, man? Can you believe that
like
shit?
An urban legend. It just like grows. Oh my god.
Kids go, whoa, shit, dude. If crazy shit like that happens in life, I better pay the fuck attention. Cut to the future. The bizarre kindergarten teachings of Orkspire has made its people incredibly smart. It is now the year 40XD6, and the land of Daranos has been destroyed by the geniuses of Orkspire.
No! That is
and now
not
everything
canon.
Is cyberpunk with orcs and elves and shit. It's awesome and totally the only fantasy cyberpunk land that ever existed. The only one. An orc with a shotgun turned to his coworker at the implant factory and said, "Hey man, did you hear about this guy who loves so gold so much he almost fucked it?" "Yeah, I fucking hate that strange shack of shit," said the elf coworker as he swiped through his issue of Hot Brains. The factory whistle blew. "Okay, time to go have sex with some towels," said the orc. "Okay, see you," replied the elf.
What?
The end.
Holy shit. That was genius. That was brilliant.
Oh my god.
That was fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
Holy
Spoiler
shit.
Alert.
Spoiler alert.
I picked up a new strand called, it was called VIP Alchemist.
Really?
I don't know what that means. Very important person, alchemist.
Dude, whatever, man. Keep smoking.
Let's just say, it got done. The story got done this week.
I think it worked. I think VIP Alchemist worked. Holy shit, man.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to yet another episode of Fantasy Fiction. Thank you, Josh, for the great story of gold and smugglers.
Thank you for the most hilarious story about fucking an element.
Hey, thanks. Hey, thank you. That means a lot to me.
It could have been any element, but it was the element.
Well, thanks to Infernal Swamp O'Doom for suggesting gold, and Katana. For suggesting smugglers. If you want to leave a prompt, guys, for next week's episode, leave a prompt in the comments. Leave one prompt only. And also, hey, if you've seen any of the movies we saw, go ahead and leave us a message. Yep. Say if you liked, if you disagreed with us, if you agreed with us, we'll chat with you. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah.
And what else? What else? Oh, guys, stop by fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. Battlecake shirts are in. We got new shirts of the Keep On Wizarding. They're now in gray with a blue print on it. Mm-hmm. I actually love that.
Yeah, it looks cool. I like that too.
If you buy more than $30, use the promo code BATTLEKEG. It's one word. It'll get $3 off your order, and that is good until I think next Sunday night. Yeah. The 28th of June, 2015. So don't even try to use that promo, guys. If it's past that date, I'll know. They will report it to me, and I'll get you.
And we'll send out the drones.
That doesn't happen. It just doesn't work.
No.
But also, guys, if you want a little doodle, I usually doodle on the invoices, but since we send so much stuff out anymore, I can't doodle on all of them. But if you leave us a message, I'll be sure to respond to it, and maybe you get a little drawing. So in your cart, in the area where it says to leave a note, go ahead and say hi, say whatever you want. I'll read it and
draw
whatever
appropriately.
Happens next will happen.
Whatever happens next will happen. We also accept jizzed on gold.
No!
We totally do. Josh does.
You can stop by Josh's Bitcoin site where he deals in jizzy Bitcoin.
Yeah, man. I accept that shit.
What's the website for that?
Bitcoin.
Jitcoin.
Remember Jit? Remember when people would say Jit all the time?
Yeah, I do remember
Let's
when people would say
Jit. Let's bring that shit back. We're bringing Jit back.
Bringing Jit back. Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus.
I had a great time. We had a great time, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yes. Enjoy the 2 weeks of summer fun, hot weather. Go swimming.
Go swimming, go see a movie or something, see Mad Max again.
Do it. Just go see it.
I saw it 4 times.
That's crazy. I'm jealous. I only saw it twice.
You'll see it much more.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
I think when it comes out, I will be buying it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to buy it.
On whatever it by then, whenever, whatever we'll be watching movies on.
Hey, that's a good point.
Could be different.
Did you hear how in my story the guy swiped through his issue of Hot Brains?
Yeah, Hot Brains. I like how
that's what they do in the future, dude. We just swipe. We don't page anymore. We swipe.
It's like
that's already existing. That already exists. I didn't do anything special.
I just stole that. I just took that from.
That's something people already say. I just used it.
Swipe left.
But it was the future. It was the future. So
yeah, I didn't like how Darnos got destroyed.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. I don't like it.
Maybe you could rewrite history.
Maybe something happens to Orcspire in the past.
Oh, whoa, what?
Time is cyclical, motherfucker.
No, people have been wanting that war.
I know, they have been.
Maybe it happened.
Yeah.
And Orcspire won.
Hey, whoa, use the promo code NOTCANON # I don't know how to use the internet. I don't know.
No. Hashtag goes at the end, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Hashtag goes at the end. Hashtag.
Hashtag. Hashtag, hashtag. Mm-hmm. Once again, everyone, thanks for listening to another episode. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And until then, Josh.
Until then, thank you for listening. And keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding down the road. Just the good old boys.
Just some magical boys.
Just the magical boys. Never doing no harm. Been in trouble with the laws of gravity since they've been born. That works, though, because your guys fell off a mountain.
Yep.
Keep on wizarding, everybody. We'll see you next time. Have a good week. Have a good 2 weeks. Enjoy the summer. Bye-bye.
Bye.